Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for giving us wisdom and discernment for the days ahead so that we can cooperate with you and be full of faith. Amen. Okay. We are going to call this Recompense on the Beast and Harlot. And our first revelation is going to be Destruction Comes for the Apostate Leadership. This was given by B.A. I dreamed that I found myself in Jerusalem back in Jesus' day, and I was looking up at the temple, a temple made by man's hands, which God does not inhabit. Acts 17 and 24, the God that made the world and all things therein, he being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Well, church buildings are not holy. The people must be. Verse 25 says, neither is he served by men's hands as though he needs anything, seeing that he himself giveth to all life and breath and all things. And he made of one every nation of men to dwell on the face of all of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain even of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and device of man. The times of ignorance therefore God overlooked, but now he commanded men that they should all everywhere repent. Inasmuch as he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Amen. Thank you, Father. There were stone steps leading down from the temple, and on the steps stood Pharisees and Sadducees. I believe in this text it is representing those of our day. We still have Pharisees and Sadducees. I was standing with a crowd of people in an open area a little ways from the temple and the stone steps, and just as I was looking around in this crowd of people, I saw a man come forward out of the crowd who began to sternly address the men who were standing up or exalting themselves on the stone steps of the temple. I knew that the man speaking was Jesus, representing those in whom he lives by word and spirit in our day who stand up against these same apostates. Matthew 23 and 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled, and whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. As Jesus began to speak, I began to recognize the word that he was speaking to these men, since I had heard these same words before. And here is what I heard, Matthew 23 and 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is become so, you make him twofold more a son of hell than yourselves. So, when Jesus spoke the first woe, I heard a loud pop-like sound and what sounded like a cracking sound. And I looked down upon the stone steps of the temple where these Pharisees and Sadducees were standing, and I noticed a large, deep crack had run right up through the middle of those stone steps, and they were beginning to crack and crumble. And I noticed that the deep crack was between the feet of a rather large and extremely overweight man. I believe that this represents the apostate leadership of our day who are overcome by their own flesh. It's a business to them. They just want to live like the world and be high on the hog, so to speak. 16. Woe unto you, you blind guides, that say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Then, when Jesus spake the second woe, I heard another, much louder, pop-like sound, and more of the cracking sound. And I looked around to see where this sound was coming from, and I saw that a large, deep crack had gone all around the temple foundation, and it was cracking up and crumbling as well. Well, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Remember these words in the coming days. Verse 17, ye fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that hath sanctified the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gift that is upon it, he is a debtor. Ye blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? He therefore that sweareth by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. Well, I believe the altar represents the crucified life. That means you don't let the flesh live, so to speak. You deny yourself, you take up your cross, and you follow Jesus. That's our altar. 21. And he that sweareth by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that sweareth by the heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and anise and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law. So, tithing is of the law. He said so. This is the leaven of the Pharisees that Jesus warned about. You know, they're in it for the money. Okay, so they put you back under the law to keep them going, because otherwise they wouldn't keep going. Justice and mercy and faith. But these you ought to have done, and not to have left the others undone. You blind guides that strain out the gnat and swallow the camel. Well, that's just making unimportant things important, right? Yeah. And that's what they do. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup and of the platter, that the outside thereof may become clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets and garnish the tombs of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we should not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, you witness to yourselves that you are sons of them that slew the prophets. The apple don't fall far from the tree, so to speak. 32. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, you offspring of vipers, how shall ye escape the judgment of hell? Therefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them shall ye kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of Abel the righteous unto the blood of Zechariah the son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the sanctuary and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Well, John said Jerusalem is the bride, but there is a false bride, as we're going to see, that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto her. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, your house, right? It wasn't God's house. In fact, it was devoid of God. That's what he meant by it was desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Just as Jesus had finished his words to these men, the stone steps gave way, and all of those men standing on the crumbling stone steps fell down into a deep pit that had opened up underneath them. And just after that happened, the entire temple came crashing down on top of them and covered them up. I noticed that from Matthew 23:15 through verses 39, there are six woes, six being the number of man. Also, I found it interesting that there is a woe in Matthew 23:23, and the date of this revelation is the 23rd, and 23rd means death. This is clearly a reprobation of today's apostate leadership and their fake temples, as Jesus pronounced in his day, and is now a repeat of history in our day. So, we'll go to this revelation here. It's called The Recompense on the Wicked. Anna Stewart. I dreamed that a few others and I were at a safari ranch. There was a 10-foot-high, impenetrable wall of dead-looking grass going around the perimeter of where we were. And I thought, all flesh is as grass, said Peter, representing the flesh of the beast people. The dragon devouring in Revelation 12, right? Because they're still devouring today. Judgments are spreading over the world from these people. We were told to get back into our vehicle because the grass was full of lionesses, representing the curse and judgment. Just waiting to jump out and grab someone. I wasn't afraid, but I did get back into the vehicle. My father, representing the father, was driving the vehicle. I was in the front passenger seat. I believe this represents the bride, right? The bride. But someone behind me had left their door open. Three times with authority, I commanded them to shut the door. And I knew they were primarily endangering themselves, but also putting the rest of us at risk as well. The vehicle represents, I believe, sanctification, and we must all keep our own doors shut for ourselves, but also for the sake of the body. Amen. That is so true. We began to slowly drive down a narrow one-way dirt road lined by that tall grass. A woman I know who represents the harlot was walking alongside us on the left of our vehicle. It wasn't safe to be outside, and she began to nervously knock on the door of the vehicle and say, "Let me in, let me in." The woman was not afraid, just slightly nervous, not realizing how very real the danger was. Romans 3 and 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. True, true. To my surprise, my father continued driving slowly along, completely ignoring her, and I said, "We need to let her in," but still he didn't stop. Luke 13 and 25 says, "When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open unto us,' and he shall answer and say to you, 'I know you not whence you are.'" Then I saw a huge, fierce-looking male lion, which I believe represents Satan, behind the vehicle on the right side, and I said, "In the name of Jesus," in order to pray for the woman's safety, but the Lord didn't even allow me to pray. In an instant, without warning, the lion pounced onto the woman, and there was a graphic spray of blood and body parts. It was horrific. I wailed, "Jesus," not just for the gore I had just seen, but because I knew that no repentance had happened. Mercy had run out, and there was not so much as a second for her to repent. Some people think they'll be able to repent down the road, but right now they'll enjoy their flesh, right? And now it was too late. Proverbs 6 and 15 says, "Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly, and on a sudden shall he be broken, and that without remedy." This is so true. People think, "Oh, I'll get it straight tomorrow," you know, and they may not have it tomorrow. And that's the end of the dream. And she went on to say, "I knew the Lord was speaking of this woman as a group of people. What I saw was his recompense that is before him. Their time had run out." Well, I would say that this is a warning, but the apostates this woman represents must confess their sins and run to the Lord now, or they won't escape. Let's continue to pray and believe for them, okay? And here's another revelation. Apostates neglect their spiritual man. This is so true. And this is Sam Paguega. In a dream, I was in a large house with a lot of people around. There seemed to be a lot of rooms and a lot of stuff going on. People were talking and hanging around and doing their own business. And I saw my mother, I believe representing the apostate church that we were born from, right? In reality, her name is Iris, which means rainbow in Greek. And this could represent grace God wants to give to the church of all nations. He is ready to give. He just needs repentance and faith. She had a small child with her who seemed like a kid from a third world country. He was very dark-skinned, representing her spiritual man in darkness. Her fruit in darkness, right? Like from India, wearing a worn-out clothes. In other words, not putting on the works of Christ. He seemed to be sick, and she didn't seem to be tending to him, representing the fruit of the apostate church's spiritual man, which they are not feeding and clothing. And if I had to say, he looked around 3 years old. So the fruit of their spiritual man is very immature. My mother then gave him to me. And I believe this represents those who minister to the mother church. Will care for and feed their spiritual man. I took him to a room like a toddler room where I was going to clean him up and put new clothes on him. Well, cleanse him from sin and dress him up in the works of Jesus. Amen. And when I changed his shirt, I noticed what looked like a tumor on the side of his face by his right ear. I would say that his hearing is under the curse. He hasn't heard truth. Okay. Without thought, I placed my hand over it and began to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, hear him. Heal his sickness. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Be well. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you. Well, this is something we need to pray for all people that we know that are like this, that their spiritual man is not important to them. The world is, right? We need to pray for them. They need to hear the voice of the Lord. As I began to say, thank you, I felt under my hand something like bones cracking. It could be the bones of the inner ear, representing spiritual hearing. They were going back in place, and the tumor was diminishing. Well, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word, right? So when we speak the word to people, we can help their hearing, right? I continued to thank God. I knew he was being healed, and so I left my hand over his face until I was sure he was all healed. Well, their face needs healing. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, but we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. And this is a supernatural verse that shows us how to bring the life of Christ to life in us, right? I noticed one of my sons was there looking. My firstborn, whose name is Eliasaph. which means God has increased or added. Okay. We call him Eli. And I told him, look, God healed him. Then, full of gladness for the boy, I grabbed the little boy's hand and walked him over to where my mother was. She was sitting in some type of large living room on some couches. She was talking to somebody else and some other people, and I was trying to get her attention and said, look, he's healed. Look, Mom, he's healed. Well, let me say, this kind of identifies the apostate church. They don't want to hear a lot about miracles and healings and deliverances and faith and so on and so forth. They don't want to listen. And they must believe the gospel that their spiritual man is healed in Jesus' name. But she just kept talking to the other person like I wasn't even there. And I tried one more time. Look, Mom, look, he's healed. I'm not sure what happened to the little boy by that point, but my gladness turned to rage because she, as the apostate church, was ignoring the work of God. They did that in Jesus' day, did they not? Mm-hmm. They made little of the great things God did. How could they have crucified Jesus after so many miracles and healings? These are people who are blinded by apostate religion, right? They were ignoring the work that God had done. In the natural, my mom is not at all like that. She is very caring and loving. And I have a good relationship with my mother and father. The mother in the dream is like the apostate church, yep, not looking for God's will and rejecting God's spiritual work in pursuit of earthly things and the entertainment of followers for money. Why did I want my mother to see? The latter rain will be rejected by the apostate church because it will lack the earthly treasures that they value. But true treasure is in heaven. Another reason they disregard the signs and wonders and miracles is it confirms the word of the person who speaks it. And they don't want that. They want to hold on to their leaders, you know, who are powerless, just like the Pharisees and Sadducees were. I picked up a wooden chair that was close by and threw it on the floor, and it smashed. Well, I think the harlot church cannot rest from their own works, just as was seen in the example of the Jews in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. Hebrews 4 and 3, for we who have believed do enter into that rest, representing that chair, right? Even as he has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Everyone looked. I felt like I was furious. I started walking down the hall. And I picked up another chair and threw it towards them. I wasn't trying to hit them, but it landed right in front of them. Well, so they could see that they had no rest from the curse and sin through their unbelief. Jesus crashed the money changers' party, which was all their works, right? For the zeal of God's house. Then I started going up the stairs to the second floor as I smashed another chair. Well, they are all not graduating from kindergarten to higher levels, okay? And then I woke up. I wondered to myself why I had gotten so upset. I'm really not the kind to lose control in anger and in a fit of rage. Well, this was an expression of God's rage that the apostates care only for the world and not for their own souls or those of others. Hebrews 2 and 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard?" Yes, and they said these signs and wonders were given to confirm the word, right? Revelation 3 and 16 also says, "So, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And I don't know what you believe about this, but I believe the Lord showed me this represents them being spewed out of the body of Christ. So this revelation here we call devastation of charismatic Christianity. This was given by P.O. In a dream, a man is walking the earth as if he is checking things. He comes upon a scene of violent disarray. The best way to describe this scene is that it puts one in mind of how a car accident would look, but there was no car. It's his bride, his wife. She's dead, but beautiful and at peace. Her luggage, apparel, and various items are in disarray around her. Many of these items are marked the Enrique Hotel. Also, she is dressed in a way that is reminiscent of the time the historians called the Roaring Twenties, which occurred right before the Great Depression. And then I heard a voice that said, "She's been lied to every day, every step of her life." My thoughts are that even though they will enter the kingdom, some, and be at peace, being lied to by false leaders will cost many spirit-filled Christians their lives and possessions at the hands of the violent beast. Hosea 4 and 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." When I woke up, I researched the name Enrique, and it is derived from Spanish or Portuguese, meaning charismatic ruler. You know the charismatics, right? And another site mentioned that it is similar to the English Henry, which means home ruler. Well, the hotel represents the church, which according to Ephesians 2:19 through 22, is many houses built together into one temple for God. Each individual house represents a person. The spirit-filled people have the position of bride, even though many will not manifest this. They are capable because they're filled with the Spirit. Or they were once filled with the Spirit. It can be either way, right? The charismatic leadership typed by Judah has gone far astray and is more guilty than the northern 10 apostate tribes because they have had the presence of God's Spirit in their midst to lead them and to empower them, but have refused to follow his word. I also asked the Lord for something in his word that would coordinate or connect what he was giving me, and he laid on my heart a page number in my very first study Bible. When I turned to it, I discovered that he had taken me to 1 Thessalonians 2. The verse that seemed emphasized was, "For ye, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things of your own countrymen, even as they did of the Jews." And that was the end of the dream. I interpreted the top part of this dream before I saw Judea and the rest of this verse. And truly, the charismatics have imitated the churches rather than the scriptures. And they will suffer the same violent attack of the beast as the Jews did from their countrymen. They went on to say, one of the reasons why I knew the dream meant something was that I would never, in the natural, dream about something named Enrique. I live in Indiana, and there's very little Spanish influence here. I thought this dream was meant for me personally, for the Lord to show me that I was part of the bride, and that I had died to the flesh and was now at rest in him. I have suffered some persecution from family over the past year. As a personal dream, I was not going to pass this on to anyone. But this morning, I noticed that there is news now on the internet originating 3 days after my dream regarding the latest hurricane of tropical storm of the year. It, too, is named Enrique. Living in the Midwest, I do not follow hurricanes or keep track of what storm names are coming, so this was a total surprise, and I'm not a mathematician, but for a Hoosier, English-only speaker, to dream a name that 3 days later hits the national news as the newest coming storm seemed to me to be up there in the range of improbability. So that's why I've sat down and now typed it out for you, thinking this may be for the larger body of believers. Yes, it definitely is, and it sure fits. A violent storm is now coming straight for the charismatic church, among others, most of which believe that they will fly away and they are not preparing to escape the beast. What is it that we should know and do to escape this beast? The precedent of Scripture over traditions of men. Yes. Well, we'll call this one "The Harlot's Fire is Coming." And apostate church cut up and cooked like a goose. This was given to Cal Spinner. I dreamed I was in the person of the Son of Man. I was in a giant library or bookstore with many books. In other words, religious teachings. And many, many rooms. I met a beautiful woman who seemed Western. She was dressed quite modernly and was wearing makeup, gold and diamond jewelry. We began to converse, and I invited her to come with me. And as we began to go, we met another woman who was dressed more Eastern, in a plain white dress with a head covering over her head and she had no jewelry or makeup, just a thin gold belt that was like a rope. She was wearing plain sandals, whereas the other woman wore stockings and high heels. It seemed we all knew each other, and I invited her to come with me as well. Well, this seems to contrast women of the world and their fake persona with humble women of the word to show who is the qualified bride. 1 Timothy 2 and 9 says, "In like manner, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefastness and sobriety, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly raiment, but which becometh women professing godliness through good works." Yep. Okay, so we got them identified. We then walked out of the library and into what seemed like a honeymoon suite of some hotel. The room had a good view of the ocean and elaborate wicker furniture, and it was very beautiful and was all decorated in very pure white. There were two king-size beds side by side, and I said to the women, "See, there is plenty of room. You can both stay." Well, God permits these two attributes to go side by side out there for people to make choices, right? They agreed and both presented me their feet. I believe this represents their walk, right? Which became like reeds. It seemed like reeds were making baskets, although I had an impression of water as well, like certain reeds that grow in the water. Well, of course, your walk can grow in the water of the washing of the word, right? Amen. I took shears and clipped their feet off. Then the beautiful Western woman became jealous of the other woman when I gave her attention. Well, as the Lord will, by the way. I said to the Western woman, "You can't get away because you cannot stand on your own." I then laid the woman with the head covering in the bed. Well, that's the sign of submission to the Lord, that head covering, and that he is the husband, the spiritual husband, right? Then the scene suddenly shifted to a kitchen, and I was placing the other woman in the oven. Fiery trial, I would say. She had the left arm and leg missing, and the right arm and leg were bound with a string. She was on a tray and had an apple in her mouth. She was weeping as I placed her in the oven and shut the door and turned it on to cook her like a goose. But the apple in her mouth reminded me that she was a pig. In other words, full of flesh and only interested in one thing, feeding the flesh. Then I woke up very disturbed and asked the Lord for interpretation. I am still, at the time of this writing, quite shaken by the vividness of this dream and the quickness with which the interpretation came to me. This is a terrible warning. This is the interpretation the Spirit revealed to me, although there may be more. The great hall with many rooms and the many books represent all the many doctrines of man and his religions. There were many people there partaking of the various books. the Son of Man is in the store or library with all the other doctrines of the world, but only invites some to go with him. The two women represent the church, those invited to wed the Lord, the woman dressed more plainly with the head covering represents the true bride. The head covering symbolized willingness to submit to authority and headship of the bridegroom. Well, I tell you, that wouldn't float in a lot of churches with a lot of women, would it? The modern woman who was selfish and jealous and dressed in jewelry and fake up, I call it fake up, represents the apostate church, who believe that they are the bride. Yeah, they all believe that the whole church is the bride, although we know from Scripture, like in Esther and Song of Solomon, that only a chosen group out of the larger church is the bride. And they all believed that they were in the bride, of course. They were taught to believe that. But it's a high calling, and that's what we need to seek for, is that high calling of God in Christ, right? The clipping of the feet is when we come to the Lord. We agree not to stand on our own, but to be carried by the Lord. Amen. That's what happened, right? Although both groups acknowledge they cannot stand on their own, but by grace, the true bride will be made to stand by grace because of true faith. Amen. So the cutting up represents the denominations of the apostate church that are one-sided, missing one arm and one leg, right? They're not a part of the larger body, right? So the left side, representing the goats, being missing will mean that through their own works, they will have no power to escape and be saved. The right side, representing the sheep who Jesus put on his right side, represents that they are unable to do the works or walk of the Lord, but are only bound by a string, symbolizing that they could be free if they really wanted to. They went on, the Lord will judge them for being worldly and self-absorbed and put them in the oven himself. They will cry out, but he won't hear them, and will send them to be baked. He won't hear them because they are like pigs, concerned only with themselves, rejecting his authority and headship. They will not allow him to carry them to his bedchamber, where, of course, his seed is sown in them to bear his fruit. That's why they won't go there. But instead, they will try to do things their own way, being more concerned about what the world thinks of them than the Lord. Yes, and it will be grievous to them, but those who are truly the Lord's will be saved through the fiery trial that will cause them to give up their self-works or wood, hay, and stubble, right? 2 Timothy 2 and 19, howbeit the firm foundation of God standeth, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some unto honor and some unto dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, which he's talking about the wood, hay, and stubble, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. As we know, wood, hay, and stubble doesn't hold up in a fiery trial. It burns up and is gone. And that's why we need to go through the fiery trial and appreciate them. 22. After righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So, those who truly are the Lord's will lose the wood, hay, and the stubble of their self-works and any reward that they thought they would have from this. But it's here that they will be saved from themselves. 1 Corinthians 3 and 12. But if any man buildeth on the foundation gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire. Yes, the old stuff of the world that people are so enamored with will be burned up in the fiery flames. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide, or survive, right, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. How shall he be saved? Because the wood, hay, and the stubble is burned up in the fire. Mm-hmm. So we should all take heed with great fear and trembling and submit ourselves to the Lord's authority with all haste. The time is at hand to come out of Babylon or be destroyed by the East. Okay, another one. This is a righteous. The righteous offend the beast and the harlot. And this is Vincent Xavier with a revelation from the Lord. He said, I am coming to do great injury and wrong to that which is not of my father. My nature contends with the nature of the beast. This nature of the beast is in the heart of men who have not been sanctified by my spirit. That which has not been fully sanctified remains an offense to me, and I will be an offense to it. Yes, I will offend the beast in this hour. I will release a shockwave of glorious power that will cause the beast to reel to and fro like a drunken man. The nature of the beast has cleverly entrapped my people and has caused them to err in their hearts concerning what is acceptable to my father. I learned practice of what is acceptable to men has been the standard by which men have been judged. Yet that standard shall be fully violated in this day. Religious leaders have led my people into complacency and have lulled them to sleep with their fairy tales and ideas that originate in their own minds. Their words are not my words, for their words carry no sanctifying power. Their words carry no influence in the realms of darkness to the liberating of the captives. The nature of the beast is empowered by sin, and the message of the religious leaders has not emancipated the conscience of those who believe in me. It is the sin conscience that must be dealt with. It is the sin issue that must be fully realized as the open door to satanic power in the souls of those who believe. My name will make war with the beast within the soul of men, and will execute judgment upon the beast. Be prepared, for many shall be offended in the last days, and it will be I who is causing the offense. Those who are righteous indeed will be an offense to those who are religious indeed. This reminds me of the faction, how that these crazy people were offended at stupid stuff. None of it sin, or none of it, some of it didn't even happen at all. It was just they just received slander from other people. Okay. So the righteous ones will be an offense to those who are religious-minded. I am going to exceed all bounds of decency and reasonableness. Follow my life. Look at me. Was I approved and acceptable to the approved social order of my day? Was I subject to those who were in control of the day? Was the Roman government my head? Were the religious leaders of Judaism my head? No. My only supreme was my father, and I always did what my father told me to do, even at the risk of upsetting the standard order of the times. Yes, it was I who entered into the temple and turned over the tables of the money changers. This was an acceptable practice for those Jews at that time, but their practices were not ordained of my father, and they're still not ordained today. It's all in the money, right? It was I who caused outrage in the hearts of those who would take me to the cliff to throw me down the mountain. It was I who stirred the crowds into chaos and confusion, causing divisions among the men. It was I who upset the religious mindset of the day when healing on the Sabbath or doing good to those who were in need. It was I who caused offense in the hearts of the hypocrites. Yes, it was I, and I say unto you that I am going to upset the world again, and I am going to turn it upside down. I am going to shake the world of all its social graces and practice that are offense and abomination to me and to my father. 2,000 years ago, I sent a people into the world, and they, according to my will, turned the world upside down. So it is on this, the third day, that I am going to release my people once again from the caves of obscurity who have hid from the religious leaders of this day and bring them out into the open. And oh, what an offense they shall be to all the social orders men have labored so hard to erect and put in place. Consider my servant David and the men who went out to meet him in the caves of Adullam. These were not the kind of men who were subjected to the religious order of Saul, and neither will these be those I release in this hour. Surely I say to you that they will enter into your places of worship and contend with all that is not of my father. They will be an offense to many and will reveal the hate and control in the hearts of the leaders who have refused to let my people go. Consider my servant Joseph. He was thrown into prison by his older brothers. Surely he shall arise in the earth having great authority and will rule over those older brothers in the days to come. Yes, those who were an insult to them because of their pride and jealousy will bow their knees to them and will acknowledge their authority, and will know of the truth that I have loved them with an everlasting love from before the eons of time, or else they shall perish without a word. Let it be known that I am an offense to the world, for the world is surely an offense to me. I have watched the world and have watched my people in the world and those who claim to be mine, and I ask, what have you learned since you believed? Have you not yet departed from that which is an offense to me? Have you not read that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of mine? You have not yet come out of her, my people. Therefore you shall incur judgments against yourselves, for I have determined to destroy Babylon. I am not speaking of the Babylon in the Middle East, but the Babylon in the middle of your heart. I am speaking to your Babylonian ways and mindsets. When I walked upon the earth, I did not call attention to the Roman authorities, but to the condition of men's hearts. Yes, I am coming to topple that which appears before men as most religious. That which is so acceptable today is an abomination to me. That which has become the social order of the day, the acceptable form of worship, is coming to an end. For I have determined to finish the house that has been in building for 2,000 years. Yes, out of the ashes will arise a new building, complete and perfect, a people who are in the exact image of my Father. I am not concerned with social graces and what is acceptable to men. I am only concerned with that which belongs to my Father. How will I come? I will come to you in the form of men and women, and I will come to you with great power and anointing when once I release my reserved ones. I come in them to stand before the multitudes in order that I may bring truth to my temple. I come, surely I come. My presence will be very shocking and offensive in this day. A heavy blow will come to the earth, for heaven has witnessed the actions of men in the earth, and their actions have been weighed in the balance. I will cause to stagger all nations by the news that they shall hear. What men have deemed as good taste, quote unquote, shall surely become bitter by what I am about to do. Indeed, that which was once approved of men and acceptable in the eyes of the admirers shall become a revolting offense, even disgusting. My people who are seated with me in heavenly places are prepared to appear in the earth before the eyes of men. These shall be the reason for the shock syndrome that will come. For that which was once accepted in my house by men shall be seen as a detestable thing in comparison to the holiness that my sanctified ones shall walk in. Their presence shall reveal the disgusting abomination that has been hidden in the hearts of men while doing many outward works of righteousness. I say that those works of outward righteousness shall be seen for what they truly are, mere religious robes covering the filth of an unsanctified life. My pure presence within my beloved ones shall cause the heart to fail in those who are unrepentant. My appearing shall be violent in action and disposition. When I come, I will come with a violent disposition that will cause men to pale and pine away. For I will take the nations by violence, and I will destroy that which is false with a strong overthrow. How will I come? I will appear through my servants, the prophets. Their words shall be as a hammer, violently breaking in pieces that which is an abomination to my Father. A destroying fire shall come out of their mouths, to the burning up of all chaff in the hearts of men. There will be no arrogance when they come. Those who would oppose their words will come under swift judgment. For these are my battle axes, my weapons of war, who have been reserved for a time such as this. Yet it is I who am working in them, beyond their own understanding. They have yielded to my will and have surrendered their lives so that I may live in and through them. It will be I who am contended with by those who would oppose them. I have said that violent men take the kingdom by force, and it will be at this time that the kingdom shall be taken by those full of divine energy and power. Satan shall be cast out of the heavenlies and thrust down into the pit. I am speaking to the hearts of men, for it is within the heart that all evil comes, not outwardly in the skies above, but within the very soul of man, that Satan has taken his seat along with the beast and the false prophet. These evil spirits have held the dominion, but shall now come under a violent blow that shall shake them from their high places in order to release my kingdom in the hearts of those who believe. Because I am going to exceed all bounds of right, morality, and decency known to man, I will be intolerable to the modern religious and social leaders of this day. My people, hear me. What has been erected as decent, moral, and acceptable to men is truly an abomination to me. You live in a time where men call evil good and good evil, bitter sweet and sweet bitter. It is a day wherein light is called darkness and darkness is called light. And because of these conditions, I will come as an intolerable force of emptying magnitude. I will so completely overturn that which is hypocritical that nothing will remain. Understand that what I have tolerated for so long will no longer be tolerated. In my intolerance, I will lead a militia of chosen warriors through whom I will shake the earth. Many will find my ways intolerable from behind the pulpit in these moments of time, for many in the congregation shall be offended because of the righteousness that flows from the minister's lips. Yes, I have ministers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal, who will demonstrate my glorious power in these days. To them shall many flock, for the true shall know my voice in and through them, and will know them by their fruits. Man has played with power greater than himself, and by so doing has opened the gate to a great flood of evil. But no man has ever witnessed the magnitude of my intolerance as what shall be witnessed in these days. My presence will become unbearable to the wicked. My words will be too severe for the hypocrites. I will appear as a cruel one to those who have been cruel. Many will not be able to bear with me. Yet to my beloved shall I appear with an intolerable love and grace. Yet many will not be able to bear my love, mercy, and grace that I will bestow upon them, and these shall be swept away in rapturous moments in my glory. These shall be overwhelmed with my love and blessings. Many great and wonderful blessings shall abound to their account, and their inheritance shall be released unto them. These are those who have come to maturity and have grown up beyond the mere religious practices of many. These are my sons and daughters who will set the creation free, even as I did when I walked upon the earth. And, of course, he came as a lamb, but he comes as a lion. Oh, well. Thank you, Father, for these wondrous corrections. We appreciate it very much. Thank you so much. Amen. Good night, y'all.